how much do you know about skinwalkers? If you think they didn't exist, I must admit that I used to believe the same as you. But even if you think I'm crazy, I'll tell you that they are very real. And now, I will tell you when I saw one. That afternoon, I woke up 10 minutes before the alarm clock went off. The room was completely silent. My wife was away on a business trip and the house felt emptier than usual. I stretched down on the bed and struggled up, feeling the weight of the prosthesis on my right leg. It had been an accident at work, and although at first I liked the idea of not working, then I remembered that I couldn't do anything on crutches. The dog, Max, slept at the foot of the bed as usual, but something had made him nervous. He was growling a lot more than usual. At first, I thought he was just dreaming, but then he jumped up and ran out the basement door, barking.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Max's barking grew louder with each passing second. His claws scraped the wood as he tried to open it. There was nothing in the basement. Still, something made my dog, who usually didn't get upset over anything, react that way. I carefully climbed down and Max kept at my side, growling low. When I got to the basement, I turned on the light and looked around. Old boxes, tools, and forgotten furniture were still in place, but there was nothing out of the ordinary.
Max, there's nothing here.
The dog was still restless, sniffing the air with bristling fur. I reached over and petted him to calm him down. Finally, he stopped growling, although he didn't relax completely. I decided he was paranoid for nothing. Maybe he had heard something on the street and had overreacted. I shrugged and went upstairs again, just as the alarm clock in my room began to go off. It was time to pick up my daughter from school. I trudged the 2 blocks to my daughter's school. Using crutches to get around was a bloody nightmare, especially in the summer heat. Still, I didn't complain. There was no time for regrets when I had a child depending on me.
Dad, can I play with Max when we get home?
Of course, honey, but don't bother him too much. Something about the way Max had reacted earlier still bothered me, but I didn't want to worry her. When we got home, Max greeted us at the door, but something about him wasn't right. He didn't bark or jump as usual. Instead, he stood still, staring at us, almost as if he was studying every move we made. His gaze was fixed and penetrating, so much so that for a moment I thought he was behaving like a stranger. My daughter, however, didn't seem to notice.
Come on, Max, let's go.
I stood in the hallway, watching the dog. Max didn't move an inch, his eyes still locked on me, as if he was waiting for something. I thought to myself that he was being ridiculous. Surely he wanted me to give him more food, and he must have thought I was mad about what happened in the basement, and this was his way of asking for forgiveness. After a few hours, I started to worry about Max. Every time I moved or made a noise, I could feel his eyes on me, as if he was watching me. Eventually, I decided to ignore him and focused on making dinner. After a few minutes, my daughter came downstairs for dinner. Max was following her closely, but not in his usual playful way. He stood by her side, now staring right at her.
Dad, Max doesn't want to play with me. He just follows me around and stares at me.
It's okay, honey. Maybe he's tired. As I was setting the table, the lights in the house flickered once and then went out completely. We were in complete darkness. Stay here. I stood up and grabbed a flashlight from a nearby drawer. I turned it on and the light revealed Max's serious face, still watching us from the edge of the kitchen. My heart was pounding as I made my way to the basement. The only logical explanation was that the fuses had blown. As I reached the basement, I could hear a muffled sound, as if someone was moving around down there. This was no good. I couldn't go down there until I took action. I knew the best thing to do was to escape with my daughter, but maybe it was nothing, and if there was something, I had to take advantage of the fact that she was in the basement before she entered the house and hid somewhere. I know what everyone is thinking, and at the time, I didn't think about locking the man in the basement. But in a tight situation, no one can blame me for not doing the obvious. I told my daughter to go to her room, and I made sure the door to my daughter's room was securely locked, and that Max was inside with her.
Hey, buddy, go take care of her, okay?
I went down to the basement with the flashlight, noticing that the sound had stopped. When I reached the top of the stairs, I shone the light on the stacked boxes and furniture. Suddenly, the flashlight picked up something on the floor. I cautiously moved forward and saw it clearly. It was Max, or at least what was left of him. His body was mangled, his fur covered in dried blood. I froze, unable to process what I was seeing. That's when I heard my daughter scream from upstairs. I ran up the stairs as fast as I could, despite the pain in my leg. When I reached her bedroom door, I found it closed, but I could hear her crying on the other side. I pulled on the handle with all my strength, but it wouldn't budge.
"Sweetie, I'm here. Open the door!"
I tried to hit it with my body again and again until it finally gave way. When the door opened, what I saw took my breath away. Behind the door was Max, only that wasn't Max. That thing was standing on two legs with the mouth stretched into an inhuman grimace, gripping my daughter's arm with its teeth. My daughter stood there, eyes wide open, panic reflected in her gaze. Her arm dangled weakly from the creature's mouth, but she didn't scream, as if fear had paralyzed her. I tried to move forward, but the creature lowered its gaze to the arm I held as if it was considering biting harder. The creature did not react like an animal. It did not recoil or show signs of fear. Instead, it let go of my daughter's arm, allowing her to collapse to the ground and get back on all fours. Before I could move, the creature gave a look that seemed to taunt me, and with one swift, brutal moment, grabbed my daughter around the waist with its jaw and jumped out the window. I heard the glass shatter into a thousand pieces, and my daughter's piercing screams faded along with the beast. I was paralyzed. I fell to my knees, unable to get up, crutches falling at my side. I tried to crawl towards the window, but I knew it was no use. There was no way to follow that thing. All I had left was the image of my daughter being dragged by that creature. When the police arrived, I couldn't articulate anything coherent. I told them what had happened, every detail, but it all sounded absurd. They searched the entire house, searched the basement where they found Max's body, but when they inspected the outside, there was no sign of my daughter or the creature. The officers tried to console me, saying they would send out search teams and that they would do everything they could do to find her, but their eyes said otherwise. They didn't believe me. They thought I was out of my mind, that I had done something with my daughter after I lost my mind. My daughter never appeared. They searched for days but found nothing, not a trace, not a clue. The case remained unsolved, and eventually the search stopped. I'm in a psychiatric hospital now. They say I'm here for my good, to protect me from myself. But I know the truth. I know that what I saw that night was real. My daughter was taken away by something that shouldn't exist, and no one believes me. I've been told that my wife stopped visiting me, unable to bear the thought that I've lost my mind, that I've done something to my daughter. The night they brought me here, I overheard the doctors talking among themselves. They think it was all a figment of my imagination. A nervous breakdown brought on by the stress of the accident. No one will ever believe me. I can't stop thinking about what happened to my daughter and where she might be now if she's still alive. I will never know. Sometimes I try to pretend that what happened was a lie, but it's getting harder and harder for me to say logical things. I guess I'm losing my mind. Although I often wonder, did this start happening before or after that night?
What is the strangest thing that has ever happened to you? Have you ever found something that threw away everything you believed? Something that you were convinced was just fables? Let me tell you that it has happened to me and my friends. But unfortunately, I am the only one who can tell the story. It all started with an invitation that no one expected. Jason, one of the more reserved guys in our group, suggested we spend the weekend at his cabin in the woods. He had never been the type to share his stuff. His cabin was his sanctuary, and he rarely talked about it. So we were all surprised when he proposed the plan. At first, we thought maybe he just wanted to unwind a bit, get away from the city, and take the opportunity to relax with friends. But there was something a bit odd about his attitude. Jason had always been a bit of a control freak, worried about someone breaking something or messing up his place. This time, however, he was strangely relaxed, almost excited about the idea of us all going. His change in attitude did not go unnoticed, but no one said anything. After all, maybe this was a unique opportunity we could never have again. So we agreed, and the plan stood. The trip was uneventful. We drove for a few hours until we reached the place. The cabin was in the middle of nowhere and was surrounded by a dense forest that we didn't know how far it extended. As soon as we arrived, Jason insisted that we explore the forest, but we were all tired from the trip. We told him we'd better do it the next day. He seemed a bit disappointed, which caught our attention even more. He was never one of those adventurous people who liked to get out of the house. Although at the time we were surprised for the best, maybe Jason wasn't as boring as we thought. We settled in, prepared some food, and started drinking. Laughter and stories took over the night, but there was something about Jason that got on my nerves. Every time I met his eyes, I felt like he was watching me in a strange way, like he was analyzing me. It was unsettling, but I laughed it off. Jason just laughed, but continued to stare when I didn't see him. We stayed in the cabin, even though Jason kept suggesting we go out into the woods. I could tell he wasn't happy with our decision to stay inside. Soon after, we all went to bed. We would have all the next morning to explore, although I wouldn't sleep that night. I woke up in the middle of the night with a strange feeling, as if someone was watching me. And there he was, Jason in his bed, staring at me from across the room. His eyes seemed to glow in the dark as if reflecting the little light that came through the window. He didn't blink, didn't move a muscle. He just looked at me. I wanted to ask him what he was doing, but I felt strangely intimidated by my friend I had known since I was a kid. I looked down, trying to ignore him, and leaned back. I didn't want to appear paranoid. Maybe I was overreacting, or maybe Jason had had too much to drink. The next day, I woke up again to the screams of my friends. It was 4 a.m. I felt a momentary relief that Jason wasn't looking at me this time. However, when I went out to the dining room, I found my friends upset. One of them, Mark, was pale and shaking. "Hey man, are you okay?" "We couldn't find Jason or Tommy." It was at that moment that they told me everything. A few minutes before, one of them woke up to a noise and noticed that our friends were not there. We waited for them for a while, but they didn't come back. We looked all over the cabin. Their things were still there, which made everything stranger. If they had gone for a walk, why didn't they call? Didn't they take anything with them? Why would they be out at this hour? We decided to go to the forest to look for them. After a while, we heard a scream from the trees in the distance. It was Tommy's voice. We ran in the direction where the scream came from, but when we arrived, the scene we found was as horrible as it was unexpected. Tommy's body was lying on the ground, gutted. But what was most disturbing was that, based on the condition of the body, it appeared to have been dead for several hours. We didn't understand how we could have heard his screams so clearly. In the distance, through the trees, I saw a figure moving quickly. It was Jason. He was moving deeper and deeper into the forest. We called his name, but he didn't respond. He just kept going as if he hadn't seen Tommy's body. We started to follow him at full speed. We had no idea we were heading into a trap. We moved deeper and deeper into the forest, but soon realized that we were losing Jason's trail. The atmosphere was getting darker, and a strange smell of damp earth and blood surrounded us. To be honest, I just wanted to get out of there. I was terrified. I couldn't stay another second in that place, and neither my friends. But we couldn't leave Jason like that, not after what had happened to Tommy. Suddenly, the sound of branches snapping all around us put us on alert. It was as if something big was moving through the trees. That wasn't Jason. That's when we saw it. Jason appeared again, but this time he wasn't walking like a normal person. He was moving like a spider, his limbs bent unnaturally as he glided along the ground. It couldn't be him. Something was wrong. Before we could react, he jumped on one of my friends, sinking his teeth into his neck. Blood splattered as my friend fell to the ground, dead in seconds. Unable to react to what was in front of us, Mark and I ran directionless, running deeper and deeper into the woods. I could hear my friend screaming in the distance, begging me not to leave him behind. None of this made any sense. That being identical to Jason had bitten his neck and killed him, there was no way he was screaming at us. Suddenly, a strange being appeared in our path. It wasn't Jason, but it wasn't something I recognized either. His pale skin and empty eyes made him look like a nightmare come true. Recognize that being. I was always a big fan of urban legends, and this being was just like the one in the Skinwalker photo that had been popularized on the internet. We didn't have time to stop and think, we just knew we had to run. We turned in another direction, trying to escape from this monster. Every time I looked back, I couldn't see anything, but I could hear it. That thing that was chasing us was closing the distance. With a stroke of luck, I reached the cabin and found the truck. But when I got there, I realized I was alone. Mark was gone. I didn't even want to think that something had happened to him or that he was lost. I got into the truck and was about to accelerate it. Then I heard it. It was Mark's voice, and it was coming from the woods. He was yelling at me in desperation, asking me to wait for him, not to leave without him, that he was being chased. At that moment, I had to make a decision. These beings were imitating the voices of my friends, but what if this was Mark? I couldn't make a decision. If I was wrong, my friend would die. I thought quickly as I listened to the voice getting closer and closer, and that's when I made the most impulsive decision I've ever made in my life. I started the engine and accelerated the truck as fast as I could. I drove without stopping, fear still pulsing in my veins. I didn't look back once, afraid to see Jason or the other monster chasing me. Or at least, that's what I told myself. What I was really afraid of was seeing Mark, and knowing that I made the wrong decision. The road back to town seemed endless, but I finally reached a safer area where I could stop and try to figure out what had happened. I tried to call the police, but my phone had no signal in that area. It was then that reality hit me like a bucket of cold water. I had left my friends behind, with no idea what had happened to them. Guilt and fear hit me hard, but I knew I couldn't go back. What I had seen in the forest was not of this world, and I could not face it again. I had already escaped. Why would I go back? To die like them? I survived, and that's a lot more than what had to have happened. When I finally got through to the authorities, I told them what had happened, even though I knew they wouldn't believe me. I was surprised when they told me that they had received similar reports in that area in the past. It seems that in the area around the cabin, they were much more open to these things than I was, although they still reported what happened as disappearances. They only found Jason's corpse, so I don't know if that voice was Mark's. To this day, I still wonder if I made the right decision. Although, given the circumstances, I suppose there was no right decision. They were just decisions. And I made the decision that made me be here now, alive, and telling you this story. Oh, and one more thing. Remember I told you that they found Jason's body? Because of that body, the police suspected me for a moment and thought I was lying to them. Do you know why? Because they found out that that body had been dead longer than the one I told them about. You know what that means, don't you? That he was with us, that he invited us to the cabin. It wasn't Jason, and it never was.
Summer vacation was going on, and I decided to meet my cousins, Drake and Jeff, to stay with them for a few days. I told my parents everything that I had planned, and they approved it. I packed my bags and was ready to leave. My father dropped me off. It was almost 9 p.m. when I reached their house. I met Drake and Jeff, we ate dinner, and we went off to sleep. I was sleeping with my cousins. I woke up at midnight to go to the bathroom. While I was going downstairs, it felt a bit creepy. It was dark all around. I didn't know where the switch was, and I didn't carry a flashlight with me to the bathroom. I was agitated and started thinking about whether I should go to the bathroom or should I head back to the bedroom. Though I was 13, I was afraid of the dark. As I didn't have any option, I went to the bathroom. I heard a knock on the door. I asked, "Who's there?" No one answered. I again heard the knock. This time I was irked. I shouted, "Drake, Jeff, are you trying to petrify me? If yes, you are going to cry your eyes out. Just back off, and it's better for you." After that, I didn't hear any knock. I came out and was heading back to go to sleep. I saw my cousin Drake awake, and I asked him, "Drake, you were the one that knocked, right?" He said, "No. Why would I even go to the bathroom at this time? If I wanted to, I would go along with my mom, because I'm afraid of the dark." I sneered and said, "Okay, okay." I asked him if not him, then who could it be? Jeff?
Never. Jeff's just 5 years old. How can he even come behind you and scare you? It's not even possible. Take it easy. It must be my dad. Don't worry, said Drake.
I said, fine. I want to sleep alone. Is there any other room where I can sleep? He said, yes, there's an extra room where I could sleep alone and no one would disturb me. I thanked him and went to the bedroom and went to sleep. I was having a tough night. A few minutes later, I just felt heavy, like someone was sitting on my legs. And what I saw was unforgettable. A white, creepy creature with a distorted figure was staring at me. Its eyes were hollow. I knew that I saw him. And of course, I screamed for help and ran immediately out of the room. The creature was running behind me like a barbaric animal. It was faster than me. It was about to drag me, but I jumped downstairs in good time and fell. Everything around me dimmed, and the last thing I knew, I passed out. When I woke up, it was already morning, and everything was normal. My cousins and my aunt were relieved to see me awake. My aunt said that I was screaming very loudly, and she heard someone running downstairs. When she got there, she saw me lying on the floor, and the back door was open. She said she was alarmed and wondered about what happened at once. I said it was just a roach who scared me and apologized for worrying everyone. My aunt said,
"Don't be troubled, my dear. It's all right."
Then we had a lavish breakfast, enjoying the time together, laughing and talking. Soon it was time for me to return home. Upon reaching, I said nothing to my parents about last night because I knew no one would believe me. But still, I'm eager to know what that creature was I saw last night. After browsing for a long time on the internet, I found out that it was a rake, a creature who is immortal and stares at people before killing them. If someone sees it, it kills that person or their family member. Seeing it is like a curse. I don't know how I escaped it, but I was lucky, is all I could say. 1 week later, my cousin's brother Jeff died. I was shocked due to his sudden death. I asked Drake how it happened. He said 1 week ago, when I went home after that day, Jeff used to cry every night. Jeff just kept on repeating just one sentence.
White monster is looking at me.
No one believed him. We all thought it was just his imagination and nothing else. But then suddenly he passed away. Coming back from Jeff's funeral, I was positive that it was the rake who killed him.